That's what why I doubted that.
Sorry? Oh, so you wanted more time.
So you couldn't really explore all the five. You got a flavor of each station?
You get some taste of it. Because obviously you're going to get the taste of the full thing every day, depending on the topic. That was just to get a taste of it. You get something out of it. Oh, well, it was more about vibrations and being together, feeling.
You all make the lotus? So you did that. Did you all do the singing bowl? The Tibetan bowl? Yeah. So you did.
I think that beat the purpose, though.
Yeah.
That station was not about the music instrument. It was more about the activity.
No, I'm just trying to see whether they went there.
Yeah.
They have.
Right?
Yeah, the divine intellect. You all enjoy the popcorn and the juice. There was both.
That's right.
It was both diet and non. There was diet as well, right? Diet Pepsi, Diet Coke.
Yeah, unlimited. Choose whatever you want. It's over here.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right. So.
Sir, what's today's what's the afternoon topic? Sorry. Buffet, Sacro Pradhan Buffet. Right. So we're going to start off with exploring this topic of sacredness, right? And then we'll move on to the topic of Sato Pradhan, okay? So I thought let's just first explore this topic of sacredness. Atish, what does sacredness mean to you?
Oh, another heavy word, you know, for morning. So for me, a lot of things are sacred in my life. My bed is very sacred to me. My cat is very sacred to me. What else? I have a place where I keep my cup of tea in my car. So that is a very sacred place to me. I don't let anyone keep. So these are the things which are really sacred to me. And yeah, my family and my relationship. I mean, that's what you meant, right? What's sacred?
Not quite. So when we're having this conversation on Skype call,
okay,
you got to learn from us now.
Uh-huh.
So when we were having our Skype calls, we were turning on this topic of sacredness. And so the first thing that came into my mind was this, I don't know, those from Australia. Who's from Australia again? One, two, three. Do you know the Uluru Rock in the middle of Australia? Ayers Rock? So there's a big rock in the middle of Australia. And it's known to be very sacred to the local indigenous people of Australia, the original people of the land. And then before they used to allow visitors or tourists to climb that rock, but now because tourists damage it and they don't want the tourists to invade the place and to start climbing the rock because they feel that it's sacred. So sacred to them means it's for a religious purpose or it's connected to God or a God, right? And so what I connect to that is that Madhuban is a sacred place for me. Right, we spent 5 days in Pandu Bhavan. We had a retreat, Young Yagya Instruments Retreat, and I just felt the sacred energy there, sacredness of the Yagya, the sacredness of the family. That's what I felt, that the whole Madhuban energy is connected to God, right? Our whole life is connected to God. And reflecting on our time right now, it's the constant age time, right? Our whole life is connected to God. Throughout the whole cycle, we're spending time with human beings. In golden age, we're spending time with deities. But only at this time, we spend time with God. I don't know if you remember, Baba said in the Muli that throughout the cycle since golden age, we spend time with souls. But only at this time, we spend time with God. That's why constant age is so sacred for us. Right? And Madhuban is so sacred for us because it's connected to God. We feel closer to Baba. The big difference there.
Right. No, today morning, I made the constant age a bit more sacred by making them cross with eyes closed. I'm sure they felt it quite sacred. Did you guys? Yeah. First of all, you know, it's not a one-way conversation here. We want you also to respond. At least nod and acknowledge us that you're alive. Otherwise, I would need more cup of tea to stay alive. Yeah? So just a bit more energy in the room is required from you all. I know we all are tired from a long morning, but it's good if you could all respond back. And we are trying to make it more interactive session. So it will not be just we communicating to you, you will be also divided into groups, and we do that now.
Yep. So we're going to divide into threes. So we probably go 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, and then one together.
So just say one. Remember your numbers.
That's all? You only know 1, 2, 3?
Right. So all the ones come on the right. All of you stand up first of all. Move out of your comfort zone and let's get all the ones on the right, twos in the center, threes on the left. Ones on the right, twos on the center, threes on the left. Yeah, it's good to sit down. You have nice cushions here. Just relax and sit down. If you all are comfortable, sit down. Take up all these cushions which are here. It'll be more cozy. Twos in the center. Yeah. It'll be good if you get on. I mean, if you are comfortable, just sit down. It'll bring more. Alright, so what we'll do is, the group looks a little bigger. We'll divide you again into two halves. So we'll divide it as 4 and 4. So again, amongst you, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. Just do 1, 2, 1, 2. Again, 1, 2, 1, 2 from amongst you all. No, 1, 2. Just 1, 2. 1 and 2. Just count 1 and 2 amongst the group. Yeah, we're going to divide the group further now. In your group itself, 1 and 2. So, just 1s together, 2s together. We're going to be making the group more smaller. We'll be exploring the first half on the sacredness. So, this session, today evening, we are going to be covering two parts. One is sacredness and Satupradhan. So, we're going for the first part now, sacredness. And so there are two reflective questions we'll give you. And amongst the, in your small groups of four, first you need to reflect for a few minutes for yourself and then share it one by one to each other, softly. Yeah? So the first question for you is, what makes my Brahmin life sacred? Right? So the first question is, what makes my Brahmin life sacred? So you all are clear with the word sacredness, right? Sacredness is something which is very very deeply valuable to you, or something which is very very close to your heart, or something which you would like to really preserve it. You know, like how we are saying, Sapna was saying that Madhuvan is very sacred to Yajna. Pandabhavan, when we say Madhuvan, it's Pandabhavan, is very sacred to the Yajna. Because it's got a history, it's got our seniors, it's where Baba really established everything. So it's very sacred, it's very valuable in the part of the history of the Yajna. So when you think of the word sacred, it's something which is very deeply valuable to you, something which you want to really preserve, or something which you really connect with back. Yeah? So, again, you need to think now in the context of your Brahmin life, what makes my Brahmin life sacred? So first you need to reflect for yourself. Say about 3 minutes, 5 minutes take for reflecting yourself, and then we will tell you to start conversation amongst the group. Right? You can write it down. And I'll also write down the second question. So the second question is, what should I pay attention to in my life to keep this sacredness constantly alive? Again, what should I pay attention to in my life to keep this sacredness constantly alive? So when you start reflecting and churning, You see, both the questions have a flow and a connection. So what makes my Brahmin life sacred, first of all? And then what attention I really need to pay to keep it alive? Right, so how are we going? Are we already done? Yeah? The sharing is already done for both the questions. Wow, you guys are fast. How about here? How is it going? Good? Still need more time? You all ready? All ready. All right, and how is it here? You guys ready? Done? Are you done? Can we move on to the next one? Yeah? Okay, so, you need your attention again. Hello? Okay, I think we are too busy in discussing about sacredness. Or something else. Okay, so, here's the third part. This is very interesting. And this is where your right side of the brain will be more active. Right? So, Sapna, what is the third part? Do you want to tell them?
Okay, so, imagine you have to write an article on this, okay, to the BK family, or even to the Lokik, to the world out there. You have to write a newspaper article, and what would be a catchy title for it? Okay? And what image would you put for this? Yeah, combining both the questions together, imagine you have to write an article. So what's a really catchy title you would write?
Individual, of course. Yeah, individual.
Yeah, and then it's quite good. Such activities are quite nice. People come up with really nice titles. And think about what image you would put for it.
Yeah. I mean, don't follow me. Don't write the title like, my cat is very sacred, and draw a cat image. Don't do all that, please. So do something creative. Make a nice article of your newspaper. And draw an image which we could recognize somehow, even if you're not good at drawing. Yeah? So we give you another. It's just, have a mix of both Lokik and alaukik. Right? But this is a self activity. You're not supposed to be discussing. It's not a group activity. Individual. Purely individual.
You're writing an article on those two questions.
Yeah.
Whatever you answer. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever you answer. Right? Combining those two questions.
Yeah. You have 8 minutes.
Like how we came up with the title for this workshop, Sacro Pradhan Buffet. You know, something like that. Oh, don't trust me, there will be. Although it's not food-wise. Okay. So go for it, and then you can share within the group. And we can probably share as a whole group as well.
You got 8 minutes.
All right, everyone ready? I'll probably pass on the mic to each person. I'll just pass it on.
Just start from the left.
For me, was I put the title, the most important thing in life. The most important thing in life. Yeah. And then I just wrote two hearts. Yeah.
My title is Become a Leader, : Follow Baba's Instruments. And that's the drawing which I've done. So it's basically, this is the instrument. You listen plus understand. And this is me who's implementing it. So, yeah.
I am pen in heart of God. I am pen in heart of God. Pen. Heart of God. Like instrument. What?
I just my title was preserving sacredness. Yeah, and I just drew a person meditating.
Let others speak. That's yeah.
I just drew a person meditating.
So my title is Limited Period Offer, Save Yourself. And so basically that's like a hot air balloon. And so there's like letters and hearts and confetti balls throwing, like somebody's throwing from the top. And the letter says, God is here. Okay, sorry. So my title is Limited Period Offer, Save Yourself. And the image would be hot air balloon, which is throwing letters and hearts and confetti balls, which says in the letter, God is here.
Mine is SOS, but secure your satyug. And then there's a flight ticket, which is first class, and the destination satyug via paramdham. Yeah, that's it.
So mine is decoding the demons. I mean the inner demon. So this is my drawing, like all five vices are going from a tap. So.
Mine is sacred for self and soul. And I just did two hands, like kind of holding a soul, like kind of connected up. Yeah.
Okay, mine is do I value myself? And, well, I don't think you can make my drawing out from here. It's me sitting on a sofa, reading a book with, a cup of hot beverage and a candle and, a nice peaceful room.
My title is Hand of God. And in the picture, there is me on the hand, or Brahma Baba or Srimat, you can say. And below are the bad influences from which I am away. Yeah.
Mine is Explore Sacredness in Sato Lab. And I have a table with all the different vessels and funnels. Where it's a divine laboratory where I have love, Srimad, newness, purity. So I'm experimenting with everything.
The image is Lotus. And the titles, like I made five of them, I'll just read quickly. Invoke the sacredness in you, non-sacrificed sacredness, reflection of inner sacredness to the outer world, digging treasures hidden within the sacredness, and then sacredness treasures.
My title is Miracles in Life, and the image is lotus like free flower.
My topic is Living a Loving Life, and I drew a picture of a globe. Inside has a heart shape along with Madhuban DK families. On top is like Shri Baba on top.
Om Shanti. My title is Holy Hunt, Search and Journey Begins at Madhuban. And our drawing is two hunts, and on top of it, Brahma Baba, like a Shiva Baba. That's drawing.
My title is Treasure the Sacredness, and the image will probably have an image of treasures and probably some quotes of Baba's knowledge from the Murli.
My title was In the Company of the Supreme, and the drawing that I finally ended up with was a diamond with a face, with a happy face.
So the title was The Service of God's Lap, and then the images of the soul sitting in God's lap. And there's a writing as well. I don't know if I should read it now or not, but I'll put it somewhere else for people to read.
My title is Link with God. If I have to explain it to Lockie family, Link with God. But the picture says that I'm sitting on God's shoulder. So, explain it.
Hi, Om Shanti.
My title is, Does Being Sacred Mean Being Scared? Is being sacred mean being scared? And it's like there's sacred is not equal to scared, the logo. Or it can be, I have one more option where it's like a half heart and a half devil's horn with a line in between.
My title is dedicated to Brahmin life. And I think the murli is the most sacred thing in Brahmin life. So I drew a flute inside the heart, which flute is the murli. And I drew children sitting next to Baba reading the murli.
My title is The Lotus in the Heart. And I drew a lotus basically with rays coming from the center. And there's a Baba on top.
My title is Safety Deposit. Safety Deposit. Because we are always safe on God's lap.
I put the link of love. The link of love. I just do like a heart. It's almost like a wrap. Like a heart with like a...
Right.
For me, the most sacred thing was maintaining different relations with the one.
Okay.
And I drew a family.
You drew a family, nice. Wonderful. So, we just realized you all are amazing artists. And you all have good headings, you know, for your newspaper articles. So, what we are going to be doing is now, not now, we will be doing at the end of the session, we want all of you to paste your newspaper articles on these walls in the room. So that when we will walk into the room, we want you all to see your own newspaper articles and look how wonderful they look. And everybody else also gets a chance to see your drawings and your headings and get inspired by them, yeah? And the article. So they have to write the whole article? Okay? Yeah? So you got more homework? So they do it when? They can't be tonight. So you need to complete your article and we want to see a fresh A4 paper there with a nice drawing tomorrow when you come in.
We can say breaking news.
Right? Alright, so now we explored what is really sacredness and how Right, so we just explored what is sacredness and how my Brahmin life is very sacred to me. And what steps I need to take or what I need to really do to keep it alive. But the second part of this Brahmin life is Sattva Pradhan. It's a stage which we need to be making effort to reach. But before reaching Sattva Pradhan, there are also other two more stages. Before Sattva Pradhan, there is Rajva Pradhan, and just before that is Tamo Pradhan. So it's a flow, or you could say it's a ladder that you have to climb up to reach. And we, the facilitators, went through that in the last retreat, in the last week, over the 5 days in the silence. It was a beautiful journey, it was a beautiful realization, but it was a lot of effort. And so the whole retreat is all about making it as a lifestyle, making it a natural way, Sattva Pradhan. It should become a lifestyle, it should be my natural movement, should be like a Sattva Pradhan individual. So for that, I would like to invite Gopi Bhen to speak on this topic of Sattva Pradhan and just give us more input and guide us of what is Sattva Pradhan, what is Rajva Pradhan, what is Tamo Pradhan? Really open our intellects much more deeper. Yeah, let's come closer. You can pull up your cushions.
I can feel the energy in the room becoming softer. Can you? So this word sacred, is a very sacred word. Mm-hmm. But Papa doesn't really use the word sacred. What word does he use? Purity. Divine. Valuable. What else? What's Baba's terminology for this energy of sacredness? Holy. He sometimes says to us, you're holy swans. Pure divine beings. What else? Silence. That might be the method. But sacredness is synonymous with something that's holy and pure and divine and elevated. No? Something that is very, very precious. So when Baba comes into our life and he says, you are my beloved, long lost, now found children. It's not just love, but he's carrying us in an energy of preciousness. Because you are precious to him. Imagine there's only a handful out of multi-millions that know him. Imagine if in an entire country only two people knew you. How would you feel towards them? You'd appreciate the fact that two people in the whole country knew you, right? And that's what it's like for Baba. Like so few people recognize who Baba is and what he's doing. And those few people are you. And so just that recognition draws so much love from Baba. And when Baba gives you drishti, what do you think he's looking at? Yeah. Is he looking at your defects? No. Is he looking at all your impurities? Is he going into your heart and going, hey, let me just check out what Haran's up to now? Oh, some of his business. He's not Jani Jananhar in that context. Right? He's looking at the purity of who you are. And then when he speaks to Murli, he speaks about it when you behave. He's looking at you because your behavior reveals who you are as well. So, you know, Baba comes and he sees this beautiful soul. He has Trikaldarshi vision. He sees our past, present and future. And he says, you are holy swans. And what do we say? Who, me? Maybe Sister Jayanti is a holy swan, right? Maybe Didi's a holy swan. Me? No. I'm fine being Gopi. So there's this whole aspect of our identity of this birth that we see ourselves, or we have a snapshot of ourselves of this identity. And Baba sees the potential of the soul against the backdrop of the whole cycle. Because he knows your story. He knows your beginning, middle and end. And you've arrived at the end of a cycle. Pretty good shape, actually. Right? Not too bad. You got home, you got roof over your head, you got good, perhaps good parents. Yeah. And so you are a soul that's taken 84 births, that's been reborn 84 times, that's left a body 84 times. God knows what you've done in each of those 84 births. You've had 84 births, sets of families. That's a lot of people you guys know. So by the time you get to this last birth, what's the big deal? Is anything a big deal? So when Baba says you are hero actors, you are master almighty authorities, do you think he's wrong? No. He totally knows your potential because you are old souls. And that's what Baba taps into. The sacredness of our original self. And that is way bigger than the body that you're in right now. Yeah, the body that you're in right now is just a product of your karmic activity. That's all. Something that you have to live with and learn from. But you as a soul are an incredible pool of richness and originality. And when Baba switches on that awareness and you start to play with that awareness, you will start to feel your original form and self. And you will start to value, hold yourself in self-value. If you just see yourself like this, young boy, so old, this, very limited identity, your self-respect will fluctuate. And the thing about Baba is that everybody, young, old, kindergarten, elderly, they're all in the same room listening to the same Murli. Which soul is waking up and which soul is still sleeping? You know, when Daddy would ask me to do things, and I say to Dad, I can't do that, Daddy, I'm young. And she goes, that's your body consciousness. She would totally throw us at the deep end of the swimming pool. She goes, finish that body consciousness. Mama did not become mama by considering herself to be young. At the age of 17, she started to be called mama. Because she realized that original self and the value of who she was and the part she played in the cycle. So sacredness has such a deep connection with that original purity. Now we use the word English, purity. We say purity, right? Purity is only purity. It's an English word. And the opposite of purity is? Impurity. And so in many religions, you're either pure or impure. And then you feel guilty. Because purity is too far away. So let me just stay impure. Because that's easier. Right? But in India, purity is an energy. It's a cycle. And you all heard when Baba says, become Sato Pradhan, Sato Rajo Tamo. He's always talking about that. Sato Pradhan, Rajo Pradhan, Tamo Pradhan. Right? In the Murlis. Almost every daily Sakar Murli, he's talking about purity. Because he knows your original potential. And through the Murli, he's trying to help you switch on again to your original form of purity, which is the highest form of, called Sato Pradhan. It's when you came down, you were in a pure state, mind, body, attitude, vision, drishti, action, totally pure. Sato Pradhan. Pradhan means state, Sato means the highest level, quality of energy. Right? And so what did life look like when you were Sato Pradhan? What were you like? What were your behaviors when you were Sato Pradhan? Perfect. What does that look like? Royal. What does that look like? Light. Okay. Give me an example of behaviors. Sato Pradhan behaviors. Easygoing. That could be interpreted the wrong way too. Careless, easygoing, right? Yeah? Huh? Royalty. So Sato is an elevated energy. Right? Let's look at it in terms of energies. It's a very high frequency energy. It's very light. It's illuminating energy. Sato energy. It's also stable energy. Constant energy. There's a lot of wisdom in that energy. someone that operates from a sato level of energy is very mature. They have a maturity in the way they live life. Not ever think too much about anything, speak too much about anything, do too much excessive. There's no excessiveness. Right? Sato energy. It's also a very generous energy. It's an abundant energy. Isn't it? Because Bharat, Bharpur, Bharat is the land that is overflowing. When we are Sato Pradhan, we have incredible wealth. Immense wealth. There's a lot of abundance in the energy of Sato Pradhan. Now when we are Sato Pradhan, do we think? We don't. Do we think in the Golden Age? Haha. We think, but we don't think. Right. You get that. We don't overthink. Right, so we think. Right, do you know that you're thinking? Are you really thinking in Sato Pradhan state? You're in pure feelings anyway, but are you thinking? You're not contemplating, you're thinking. Now why would you need to think? Is it? Okay, think about synchronicity. All of you must have felt moments in your life when you were synchronized. You know when things just started to flow? And they just happened? Were you thinking in that time? You weren't, were you? Now imagine that happening all the time. That's Satyug. You are completely aligned. The frequency of your energy is so stable, light, consistent, that things are just automatically happening around you. You are at the right place, at the right time, in the right thing, in the right... Everything's at the right time. It's just like one harmonious dance that is operating without any mental interference. Because your chit is pure. Your consciousness is totally pure. So it's grace. Sato energy is very graceful energy. Isn't it? So it's just fluid and graceful. And that's what we call royal. Yeah? So, then what happens? When do we start thinking? Do you remember your first thought? When do we first start thinking? When do we start to think? When you become? When does that happen? When you forget yourself, you start to think. That means if you're thinking, you're constantly in a state of forgetfulness, right? So we talked about sacredness, sato, purity, many, many words. This is your internal core when you're connected, right? Because that's, we're completely soul conscious in the Golden Age. So the whole thing of royalty, grace, so many words that we just spoke about now. So then when we become Rajopradhan, it's usually at the beginning of the Copper Age, right? That's the energy of Rajopradhanta. Now, what is Rajopradhan energy? So how many degrees are we in the Golden Age? 16. Silver Age? Everybody's 14? Maybe at the beginning of Silver Age everyone's 14. And then, as we come down towards the end of Silver Age, what happens? Someone's 14, someone's 13 and a half, someone's 12, someone's 11. Now what happens in your consciousness when there are different frequencies of purity? What happens? Not quite conflicts just then. You start seeing the difference. You start noticing. If something's at the same frequency, you don't see it because it's like one. Do you get my point? In golden age, everything is 16 celestial degrees pure. Everything. One frequency. So you don't know the difference between a flower and a bird in the sky. You just, everything's that frequency, so there's nothing your eyes get drawn to. But the moment each one's level of purity starts to go at a different frequency, then suddenly, oh, and what's the first thing we notice? What do we notice? We start to notice the body. Oh, you've got a nice jacket on. Oh, this is lovely. Isn't it? Little do we know that that's the movement, that thought, where we start to see difference, is the most subtlest movement into your Rajo stage. It's not completely Rajo Pradhan, but it's going in that direction. You start to notice differences. Yeah? And you might not have a thought in the initial stage, but you might just... The eyes go. You know how it is? Your eyes just go somewhere. You don't need to be, your eyes just go somewhere. And then there comes a point when what you see is what you want. Your eyes get completely immersed in something. You know, we say in India, the chit gets absorbed. Sometimes you think it's your mind wandering. It's not. I was telling the group, there's a story in Bhakti. King Janak. You all heard about King Janak. He's known for being Videhi, bodiless Janak. So one day, a very famous sage had a son, and he wanted to teach his son about becoming bodiless. So he sent his son to King Janak, and he said, go to King Janak and learn, take some spiritual instructions from him. So he went. He arrived in King Janak's palace. King Janak is sitting there with his arms around his queens and lots of wine and food and gold around him. And this young man is thinking, what spiritual instructions am I going to get from this guy? And he looks like he's just absolutely immersed in the lavishes of life. Anyway, he didn't say anything, and King Janak then invited him to eat some food. The big buffet of food laid out, so this young man sat down to eat. And halfway through the meal, he noticed something above his head. And there was a great big bell hanging on a very thin thread. And it was just above his head. So he's eating all this delicious food, and King Janak is bringing the best of the best varieties of food on the table. And he's eating, but he's looking up the bell. Right? He's eating, he's afraid that bell's about to fall on his head, and he's eating really fast. So, you know, after he's completely full, King Janak says to him, so, did you enjoy your food? Did you enjoy your meal? And he said, I don't want to lie, but you know what? My chit was completely absorbed in the fear. My consciousness was completely absorbed in the fear of the bell falling on my head, so I couldn't even enjoy my food. And King Janak said, exactly. I am so absorbed in the highest state of the self that I'm beyond the taste of worldly pleasure. You get my point? So when we are in life, what's happening is our chit, our consciousness is fractured. It's going all over the place. You eat, but you're not present. Your consciousness and your chit isn't present as you eat. Your mind, or there's like an image of something else absorbing you. It's not quite your mind doesn't leave the body, it can't. But the chit is what wanders. Your chit gets absorbed in something or someone. And you're consumed by what you're seeing. You've had that feeling, right? Yeah, you know what that looks like. So that's what starts to happen when we start to become Rajopradhan. Yeah. And when we fall in, body consciousness is the first vice. What's the next one? No. All vices come in order. Body consciousness is the first one. What's the second one? No. No. Yo. We need to take you back to basics. No. Exactly. So BC, that is what drags us into lust. And it's when we get here that we just totally lose it. We lose every degree we have. Zero. Okay? Then it's anger. They're all friends anyway. They hang around together. So if you get one, you'll get the others too. But there's a definite clear devolution of losing our purity. Okay? Anger, greed, attachment, and ego. Arrogance. Okay? That's five, isn't it? So, what do you think makes us think? Yes. Yes. You see, body consciousness in Hindi is called De Abhiman, which means the ego of the body. This is more arrogance, the form of ego that is gross. Okay? So, what do you think makes you think? The body. The moment your consciousness has slid into the body, the first thoughts you start to have is your chit start to become fractured as it gets absorbed in bodily things. And then suddenly lust takes over, attraction takes over. I want that. I have to have that. And if I don't get it, you're not allowed to have it. It's mine. Right? Or I, the ego of the body. I'm so beautiful. I'm more beautiful than you. Yeah. So thinking is seeded in vice. And if you look at all your thinking now, none of it, I can guarantee it, none of it is original. It's just your old habits making your mind work. That's it. And then we think, oh, what a wonderful thought I had. Oh, what a great thought I had. And we have ego about our own thoughts. Yeah, ego is a very deep subject, trust me. We can live in it for a long time because the ego feeds itself by thinking. That's the job of the ego. It wants you to think because it doesn't want you to experience your sacredness. So you just keep intellectualizing, keep rationalizing, keep conceptualizing, do all of that and keep thinking. No. No. And then the quality of our thoughts degenerate. So Rajo stage, what happens at Rajo stage is movement. Rajo is associated, the moment we start to have thoughts, consciousness is moving. Suddenly we start to judge good, bad, right, wrong. Polarity starts. What's Dwapur? Dwapur means duality. Right? So the moment duality enters the picture, good, bad, right, wrong, green, black, white, black, this, that, there's a line. The cycle's gone and there's just a line. And that's when Rajo Pradhan enters. Because Rajo is associated with passion and motion. These are the energies of Rajo. Passion, motion. So what are Rajo Pradhan behaviors? What's Rajo Pradhan expression? Give me an example. What's a Rajo Pradhan expression? Excitement is a Rajo Pradhan expression. Sato Pradhan would be joy, right? Bliss, joy. And Rajo Pradhan would be excitement. What else? Sorry? Surprise. What else? Dissatisfaction. Exactly. Dissatisfaction starts. You're discontent. Yeah, and feel quite full. You're restless. You're being impressed.
What else? Jealousy. Ooh, yeah. Ooh, yeah, big time. Big time. It's a little fire that starts, isn't it? Because jealousy is like a negative passion. Isn't it? What else? What else is Rajopradhan expression? Judgment, criticisms, comparison. Expectations, absolutely. And interesting is that at this stage, because duality begins, you'll see virtues and you'll get impressed by virtues, but you'll also see? You'll see defects. Ah, this is not right. That's how it should be. This is not right. This is how it should be. This is a Rajopradhan mindset. Now, you see defects. And because you see defects, what happens? What happens when you see defects? There is hierarchy, very important, hierarchy. Yeah, you start putting people outside. These are higher, these are lower. So imagine the effect that has on society. What else? Arrogance. Arrogance, absolutely, it's one of the vices, right? I am better than you. You're down, I'm up. So the whole concept of victim and bully begins. The whole mindset of victim and bully begins. I am low and you are high. I am high. Because you know, what's the bully? The bully is, I'm okay, you're not okay. What's the victim? I'm not okay, but you're okay. Right? And then there's a third one. That's a very tricky one. Yeah. The person who stands there and watches it happen, but the person who tries to rescue it. They're probably the most dangerous. Because they're trying to rescue it, their mantra is, I'm not okay, you're not okay. So they make things worse. And that's the drama we begin from the Copper Age. We start entering in relationships. You're the bully, I'm the victim, and a rescuer comes in to save me. Then another drama begins. So all these dramas begin from the Copper Age. It's amazing. It's amazing how our human relationships become power games. Because that's what Rajopradhan energy is. Right? Are you getting a picture of this? This is your cycle, your journey of purity. And Rajo energy is just fast energy. So when you're starting to think excessively, that's your Rajo mindset. Overthinking is totally Rajopradhan. Worry is Rajopradhan. Doubt is Rajopradhan. Yeah, but right now, at the end of the cycle, as you're becoming purified, all this is going to erupt. Because the packaging you're in right now, your nature and sanskars, has all of this in it. Right? And then you have to face it. Okay, so then we slid down even further, no degrees. So at some point we just went, yeah, forget it now. Forget the love, forget the this. Then what happened? We became completely tamo. Okay, so tamo is an energy. I want you to think of how it's a cycle of energy. So if you get your energy right, everything will flow from that. Does that make sense? You can't think yourself into being Satopradhan. You have to be it. And then you will say the right things. You will feel the right things. You'll be in the right place at the right time. It's an energy. Okay? So then we slip into tamo energy. Tamo energy is very much linked to inertia and darkness. What's inertia? Yes. What's inert? When something's inert, it can't move. It has the potential to move, but it's like being held back. Can't move, I can't do it. So what does that look like in your life? What does inertia look like in your life? Yeah, that's usually when there's an omen on top of you. Yeah, that could be tamopradhan. What else? How does this feeling manifest in you? Dependency. Yes, that's a tamo energy, definitely. Yes. Think about it. When you want to do something and you can't, what do you feel? When you want to do something and you can't, what do you feel? You feel hatred? You feel like you're a failure? You feel depressed? And you feel frustrated, absolutely, and angry, and then you take your anger out at someone else and kill someone because you can't do it? What else? You feel guilty? You feel sad? You feel guilty? You feel disheartened. Disheartenment is tamopradhan energy. Right? You feel disheartened. And then that disheartenment eventually continues and you feel hopeless. Hopeless? Oh my God, that's it. I'm never going to make it to Satyug. I'm never going to make it to my destination. Dark energy. You've all been there, right? Negative. Completely negative. Yeah, I mean, this is shades of negativity in it, but this is like you wallow in it. You know? You're in darkness. Your mind has no light in it at all. And it is associated with violence. Violent tendencies. What are violent tendencies at the level of the self? Sorry? Aggressiveness. What else? That's more rajo. But extreme rajo will become tamo. All of these are connected, eh? Yeah. What else? Suicide. That's literally what people do. They can't kill anybody else, they kill themselves. Yeah, self-sabotage. You know that, right? Self-sabotage? Self-sabotage. Somebody talk to me about self-sabotage. What is that? What's self-sabotage? Self-destruction. What does it look like practically in life? Huh? Alcohol, right. So you know that what you're doing, that no, you have an aim to do something good, and yet halfway through doing good, you go and do something stupid. Yeah, and you know you're doing something stupid, and you know you shouldn't be doing that, but you can't help it. And it's like you're making effort and then suddenly you sabotage it. Do you get my point? That's tamo behaviors. That's a tamo expression. There's something holding you back and not putting something in the way. So every time you make efforts to do something good, suddenly something will come and you'll feed an old addiction. You'll go smoke a cigarette. That woke you up. No, I'm joking. Don't repeat this, but there was a sister. I have to tell you, do you mind if I take a bit more time because this is quite valuable for them? I'll be done in 5 minutes. It's great. Is this helpful?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So there's a sister I know in a particular country. I can't tell you what country it is because then you'll know her. So anyway, and she, before she's a really lovely sister. She's been with Baba for many years. But before she came to Baba, she used to be a heavy drinker. Okay, and then she transformed her life and everything. But one day, and I think she goes kind of through ups and downs in her Brahmin life, but one day she was traveling in India. And you know how difficult traveling in India is, right? You never get anything on time, you never get any help, your things will be late, nobody comes to help you, whatever. And she was delayed, a plane was delayed by 8 hours or something. And, you know, she got so fed up, she said, I just went and got a beer for myself. You see what I mean? It's like when there isn't enough accumulation of satopradhan energy inside, you will succumb. You will succumb.
to your old habits. Because it's a comfort zone. It's like a, you know, when the pressure's building in the pressure cooker, you lift the lid, have a beer, phew, I'm better now. She was so funny. And she was honest about it, because she came to daddy and she apologized. She said, I transgressed in my maryadas. You know? I mean, we were all laughing because it was really funny, but it wasn't funny for her, but you know, it was still quite funny. So, tamopradan. So, tamopradan, right? You're getting the idea. And now you have to understand yourself. You have to know yourself. Because as the soul that Baba sees this. Yeah? And Baba's here somewhere. Right? And he's going, hello, my Raja Bacha. Hello, my sacred child. Hello, my hero actor. And everything else is going, no, in our lives. Yes. Baba's soul, no, it's pretty much the same size, I think. Yeah. Yeah. Why should it be bigger? Soul is a soul. The size doesn't change. But Baba's energy is purer. His frequency is completely pure. Ours goes up and down. Ours goes through the cycle. Baba doesn't go through the cycle. Right? You're in a packaging. You're in a body. He doesn't have a body. By the fact that you have a body, you have nature and sanskars that are rajopradan and tamopradan. Yeah. So the king that Baba sees here is not always seated on its seat, is it? Sometimes it falls off. What does it look like when it falls off? It gets upset. So every time you get upset, that Satopradhan king has just fallen off his seat. Every time you indulge in any of these behaviors, it's come off its seat. So appreciating your Satopradhanta, Baba is Baba's company. Because Baba's making you that again. Baba is the only thing in the whole world that can elevate your energy to complete purity. Because Baba is ever pure. Ever pure. So when you hang out with Baba, suddenly you can apply the full stop. Suddenly you can be detached from these dynamics. Suddenly you can withdraw. And you don't have to beat yourself up for having a rajopradhan and tamopradhan nature and sanskars. Right? You can be satopradhan, and as you increase the light of this energy, guess what happens? All this starts to merge. Low-level frequencies will disappear when there's a high-level frequency. This is the law. And if you don't sustain a high-level frequency, all your low-level frequencies will control you. And everything, all behaviors, thoughts at that frequency will control you. Does that make sense? Yeah? So when we are becoming Satopradhan, and Baba's telling us, remember me alone, do you see why? Because when you remember another human, what gets triggered? Comparisons, attachments, criticisms. So much junk gets triggered. And you lower your frequency. The moment you invoke Baba mentally into your mind, suddenly you raise your frequency. No thought at any other level can enter. It just won't come. That's why in the golden age, you don't have rajopradhan sanskars, do you? You don't. Because that frequency is not allowed in that age. And when we're rajopradhan, we don't have satopradhan sanskars, do we? Because the frequency creates the world. The frequency of energy you sustain creates your life experience. See how deep purity is? So you have to really go into this subject of what it means to be satopradhan. I'm reclaiming my kingdom again. What is my commitment to my purity? And what's my commitment to my Satopradhan stage? It's in me. But I need to make it my friend again. It's entropy. It has to happen. You have to be sato pradhan sato, rajo pradhan rajo, tamo pradhan tamo. You have to be. Because it's entropy. The soul goes through the cycle of taking body after body after body. It's a law. Everything from a potential state goes to a spent state. You can't say why. So you can never say, oh, why am I tamo pradhan? Why do I have this? You can't. You are meant to be. You have to accept the fullness of your cycle. I am pure, I am impure. This is my cycle. So I have to swallow it. No. Do we have habits in the Golden Age? Yeah, sanskars and habits are two different things. Right? Sanskar is anything that you've done through your body. So walking, you have the sanskars of walking, you have the sanskars of speaking, you have the sanskars of acting, you have the sanskars of playing a piano, you have the sanskars of cooking. You get my point? What's a habit? Mm-hmm. But what is it, the energy of a habit? Yes. You can't stop. Why can't you stop it? Why is it repetition? Habit has an element of dependency in it. You're not doing it from a place of being a master. So you create a habit, like smoking is a habit. Why do you smoke? To fill a gap. You feel pain, sorrow. Take a smoke too. Why do you? Alcohol is a habit, right? Addiction. Now we have a lot of habits that we sustain because they make us feel good. You don't need to feel good in the Golden Age. You are good. No habits needed. So yes, we're going to do actions, but our form of learning, but they don't become a habit in the sense that they are crutches for us. You understand? Habits start from Copper Age. No, because the Golden Age is the total experience of the reward that you create now. It's neutral karma. It's a flow. You're eating the fruit of everything you've done now. Now, it starts when God comes, because God establishes heaven. And He comes and He wakes us up. It starts now. So if you live consciously, you can recreate. If you keep going to sleep again, Om Shanti. Yeah, think about it. You don't wake up for Amrit Vela to meet God, you've missed that opportunity for eternity. You don't listen to a Murli every day, you've missed that opportunity for eternity. Everything you do now is leaving an eternal footprint. So how important it is to look after and care for our energy. Okay. I'm being told to stop because I've really gone over time.
All right. Thank you, Gopi Ben. She's an expert in these three topics. Sato Pradhan, Rajo Pradhan and Tamo Pradhan. We've also taken a lot of benefit from it. I know we would like to go and finish the whole chit-chat, but we have a little activity planned for you. And this is the buffet part of it. But I wanted to ask Gopi Ben, is there a reflective question you have for them? Because the next activity is about art and craft, and it was about being in the zone of the Sato Pradhan state. It's all about feeling and experiencing the Sato Pradhan energy, because all this time it's been sharing, thinking, and now it's about feeling. So do you have one reflection question for them whilst they're making something?
Sit with Baba quietly. And just feel, what is it going to take for me to become, to sustain my Sato Pradhan stage? What is it going to take? What is it going to take? So sit with Baba quietly, and what is it going to take for me to sustain my Sato Pradhan energy.
Alright, so we have a table over here with a lot of art and craft, a lot of craft things, and we are providing each one of you a plate. So just like how you go to a restaurant or something, you have a buffet, so you select whatever you want on that plate, then you sit in one particular spot, wherever you want to around the room, and you create something, whatever it is, whilst you're reflecting on that question. Okay? Is that okay? Any questions? Around 20 minutes? Okay, so 25 minutes?
As you're thinking, as you're being with Baba, and you're feeling Baba's energy, and then you're feeling, you know, what you need to do to sustain this level of pure energy in your life, let your hands instinctively do the work. Don't control it. You get my point? Just let your presence with Baba, being with the Ever-Pure, create something. And then make sense of what you're creating. And how have what you've created is a symbol of what you're going to sustain your Sato Pradhan energy with. Yeah? So it's a very subtle exercise. It's going to require you to be alone with Baba inside. And just let the heart be with Baba and let the hands do the work. Okay? So you can go get your plates and pick up whatever goodies that draw your attention and find a space in the room and create from that place of being Sato Pradhan.
Okay, so we would be starting meditation in 5 minutes, so if you all could just wind up, and those who want to go out for refreshing themselves, just come back quickly. And we have a small waste basket there in the center, the golden box, so you can put all those papers and scraps, whatever you have inside that. And then just take your seats on the arch. So can we just all quickly wind up? And by 7 we should all be seated for meditation. Keep your stuff with you. You can take back the plate also and the crowns or whatever you have made with you. Yeah.
So as we sit for meditation, if you can sit on the floor, I'd like you to sit on the floor and have your creation in front of you. Okay? So as we sit for yoga, we're going to sit with our pure creation in front of us. And maybe, Piyush, you can take some help and get the tables moved so it's not a blocking energy in the middle of the room. You're welcome to sit on the floor. You're welcome to sit on the chair in proximity, preferably, but with the creation in front of you. And and the sisters on the left and the brothers on the right. Purity, my original state of being. I am a pure soul. So much lightness, such freedom. There is inner power in this purity. Thank you.
I am a pure soul. Purity does not hold the past. It's powerful in the present. I am pure. In this purity, my highest vibration is awakened. There's a flow of energy. I am a pure soul. In this purity, I create my highest creation. I become a master creator. I am a pure soul. Baba, your ever pure energy of benevolence awakens the pure benevolence in me. Such a flow of energy. I'm in the presence
of the ever pure one. And in purity, there's only benevolence. I absorb it. I am a pure soul. In your presence, Baba, the ever pure one, I feel I've claimed back my life. For in purity, I find my true peace and the happiness. I've claimed back my life. Through this, Baba. I am a pure soul. My purity brings me closer to you, Baba. For the language of togetherness is the language of purity. I feel closer to you, Baba. there's a connectedness. I am a pure soul. I am a pure soul, a luminous being of energy, so subtle, so clean, so transparent. Nothing holds me back. Nothing. My purity paves my pathway. My purity opens many doors and leads me to my highest stage of being Sitta Pradhan. Nothing holds me back. I am a pure soul. I am a pure soul. I am in the presence of God, the ever pure one. I absorb the purity. I am the child of the supremely pure one. I stay in my purity.